The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Morning Drive at WTBR 89.7 FM, 88.1 in Lee. This is Monday, May 18th, so welcome to the beginning of the week. I am Brian Burkle. I'll be your host today, and we are live and local at the WTBR studios on Federico Drive. Today, we're going to be talking with Leslie Herzberg, who is the Executive Director of the Berkshire County Historical Society at Herman Melville Arrowhead. So we're going to get into all the stuff that's coming up with the Historical Society, particularly since everybody's well aware this is the 250th anniversary of our little country here called America. And so we have a lot. We've been there since the beginning. Berkshire County has been there since the beginning. So we have a lot to say about that and recognize as that 250 is coming up. So when we come back from the weather, we will get into that conversation.
Berkshire weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, partly cloudy. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Monday, partly sunny in the morning, then clearing. Hot with highs in the upper 80s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the afternoon. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Monday night, mostly clear. Warmer with lows in the mid-60s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, so that is our weather. Big difference from about a week ago. It was there was frost last week. So here we're already talking about 80s, 90s. So, I'm kind of happy, but sometimes it's too much of a swing. Leslie Herzberg is here with us. Leslie, hello. How are you?
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So Leslie, for those listening, is the executive director of the Berkshire County Historical Society at Herman Melville's Arrowhead. So, Leslie, the society, just before we were, got on the air here, we were talking a little bit about the not difference. You said they're one and the same. That Herman Melville Arrowhead is the home of the society, but the society is more than Herman Melville's Arrowhead, right?
Right, exactly. We kind of have a dual identity issue there. So the Historical Society has its offices at Arrowhead because we own Arrowhead, we run Arrowhead. So sometimes that pigeonholes us into just talking about Herman Melville, but we are much more than that. So we are essentially the Berkshire County Historical Society. I think we also really function as the Pittsfield Historical Society in many ways, because Pittsfield actually does not have its own historical society. So most of our collection does focus on Pittsfield. And so by default, we just end up being the Pittsfield Historical Society in many ways. But we do cover, our collection does cover the rest of the Berkshires as well.
Yeah, because it's so, the thing about the Berkshires is that it is so, I mean, Pittsfield is the hub, right? We all know that. But the Berkshires is so interlocked with one another, right? There's so many, so dependent, like, from one section to the other, especially when we talk about historical aspects, because nothing is just Pittsfield here.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are coming up, and we'll revisit this again at the end, because this is important to let people know what types of things they can go and see at Arrowhead and what kind of events you have coming up for the society. So I know for one, you've got a you've got some author series. Can you tell me a little bit about some of those author series that are coming up, those presentations?
Yeah, we love to feature local authors because obviously Herman Melville. So that just fits right within the mission there. So anyone who has had a book recently on Berkshire history, we're always happy to feature. So we have one coming up even just this Wednesday. And we are usually our talks are on Wednesdays at 5:30. Mm-hmm. The author's there to talk about the book. You can purchase the book, meet the author. So that's kind of fun. And so we like to feature local authors. We actually just had one. Our opening weekend was just this past weekend. So,
oh, opening weekend for Arrowhead?
Right. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So we really go Memorial Day to mm-hmm. the end of October. So we opened on Saturday, and we had one author talk on Saturday. One of our docents, a local historian named John Dixon, he mm-hmm. recently wrote a book called Herman Melville in the Berkshires.
Yeah, he was on the show here not too long ago.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
I wasn't here, but Sean, I believe, interviewed him.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
So, yeah.
Yeah, John is great. He's so knowledgeable. He is a guide at Arrowhead, and he's the head mm-hmm. of the Pittsfield Historical Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really wanted to write this book about how Herman Melville's travels and in the Berkshires kind of influenced his writing and influenced. So when you read Melville, you can really pick out the aspects of where he was mm-hmm. and all the things about, you know, you can imagine yourself kind of riding through the Berkshires with Melville and where he was stopping and what mm-hmm. he was looking at. So it's a really interesting book, and we had a huge turnout with like 80 people.
Oh, wow. That's
Saturday
great.
Afternoon. So that was great.
That's a good turnout for anything.
It's a very good turnout.
Yeah, and to your point there about, you know, the writings that he published while he was here in the Berkshires, there's references to things that are Berkshire familiar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is very much in his style, because when you look at his first books, they were all about his travels in the South Pacific. And so he seems to write about where he's at, right, physically.
Yeah, he's very much kind of where he is at the present.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of people don't understand that he wrote Moby Dick at Arrowhead, because yeah. everyone assumes, oh, he wrote Moby Dick, you know, looking out over the ocean.
Right.
And not so, obviously. Yeah. But he took our wonderful Mount Greylock as inspiration and imagined it, that it was a, you know, white whale, you know, yeah. cresting through a billow, as he says. And that's what he was looking at when he wrote Moby Dick.
So that is something that I tell people. That he was inspired by Mount Greylock. So you're saying that there's facts to that?
That's true.
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure. I was sharing that with a little bit of like, I think this is true. Because obviously if you live, say, in New Bedford, you say, no, he was looking out over the water. You know, everybody wants to take credit for that. But so there is truth to that it was the inspiration of seeing Mount Greylock.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, he was writing Moby Dick in the winter of mm-hmm. 1850 to 1851. Mm-hmm. And so Mount Greylock was covered with snow.
Sure.
So if you use your imagination, yeah, it might still be. There might still be some snow up there. But yeah, if you use your imagination and mm-hmm. you look out that window, his window, you can certainly imagine the back of a sperm whale kind
sure.
of coming out of the waves. But he told his friend and fellow writer, Nathaniel Hawthorne,
mm-hmm.
exactly what he was doing. And Hawthorne actually writes that. He says, and I may misquote this a little bit, but he says, on the hither side of Pittsfield sits Herman Melville, while the great shape of Greylock looms upon him from his study window. Or he says he creates the figure of Moby Dick while the great shape of Greylock looms upon him from his study window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so cool. So that's a win.
You are correct in
right.
telling people that.
Okay, good. and to that point, you mentioned Hawthorne, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, going just to the history that Berkshire County has, you know, there's so many layers of history, but that whole literary and artistic history, you know, all those folks that were here at some point. I mean, even Mark Twain spent time up here in Berkshire County at one point. And we got Josh Billings, who was, you know, his Mark Twain's contemporary. He's from Lanesboro. So obviously we've got Melville, Hawthorne, Holmes, right? So can you talk a little bit about that sort of friendship that they had and how they kind of maybe worked off of each other?
Yeah, so you're right. Like, a lot of writers were here in the Berkshires. So in addition to the ones you listed, Longfellow was
yep.
here. He married
Edith
a woman.
Edith Wharton.
Edith Wharton, yep. yeah. So there were so many people. Thoreau came mm-hmm. and climbed Mount Greylock, we know. So there were a lot of literary luminaries here mm-hmm. In the Berkshires. And I think one of the most famous literary friendships is that between Hawthorne and Melville. And so they meet on a hike that was organized by mutual friends on Monument Mountain, August 5th of 1850. And it's like they become fast friends, mm-hmm. right? They were kindred spirits in many, many ways. So Hawthorne was much older than Melville. Melville had lost his father at age 12. Mm-hmm. And so when they meet, Hawthorne's not just a mentor. He's really almost like a father figure to Melville. And Melville desperately wants to kind of develop that friendship. So that is one of the reasons that Melville chooses to live in Pittsfield. He chooses the house that he does because he realizes that he will have proximity to Hawthorne, because mm. Hawthorne is living... Hawthorne only lives in the Berkshires for 18 months.
Yeah.
He lives at the Little Red Cottage in Lenox, which mm-hmm. is now... The reproduction is on the grounds of Tanglewood.
Sure, on the backside there.
Yeah, yeah, so if you're on Hawthorne Row, there's a reason for that.
As I said, he was only here for 18 months, but long enough to have two roads named. He's got Hawthorne Road, which intersects with Hawthorne Street, which is not confusing at all when you're trying to give directions to tourists, right?
Yeah. But. Yeah, so that's where they met, you know. So they were able to kind of develop that friendship, and they were certainly traveling in between one another's homes, and mm-hmm. the families knew each other. They visited a lot of other Berkshire attractions, what we consider Berkshire attractions today. Mm-hmm. Like they visited the Shaker Village. They went to Hancock Shaker Village together mm-hmm. On several occasions. They actually, this is a great fun fact too. They had a foot race around the Roundstone Barn at Hancock in August of 1851.
On the inside or the outside?
I believe on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's actually a good question. I never thought about that. But you're right. I always thought about it as on the outside. But we know about it because Hawthorne wrote about it. They were there with a group, obviously. Their wives were obviously there, too. And Hawthorne's wife, Sophia, was pregnant at the time mm-hmm. with their second child. And Hawthorne wrote, he said, Sophia did not participate in the foot race because she did not want to be mistaken for a cow or an elephant.
Okay. to your point there about the Hancock Shaker Village, mm-hmm. I believe too, wasn't there a character that was inspired by his experiences there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In Moby Dick.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
There's a great section of Moby Dick where, so again, that's one of those Berkshire connections, mm-hmm. right? You know exactly what he was doing and who he was visiting because he adds in this character that's a Shaker in Moby Dick, and he's a character named Gabriel, and he's on board the ship called the Jeroboam, and he's the one that tells the crew of the Pequod that their voyage is not going to end well. He's something of a prophet or a seer. Mm. And so for Melville to create that character and to make that character a Shaker, he obviously attributes, you know, the Shakers with this kind of different kind of connection to God or, you know, something like that. So I've always found that very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. We just had a conversation here a couple of weeks ago about the Hancock Shaker Village. Mm-hmm. So again, all these things are interconnected. You know, all these organizations and all this history, so interconnected here. As far as Melville's work that he did here, what are some of the other pieces that he wrote while he was here in the Berkshires that you're aware of?
So right after he wrote Moby Dick, before it was even published, he wrote a novel called Pierre. And Pierre is actually dedicated to Mount Greylock. Mm-hmm. That's how much he loved Mount Greylock. Mm-hmm. And then he wrote, the other novels he wrote here were Israel Potter. He wrote The Confidence Man. And then he wrote several short stories. And some of those are maybe more familiar to people than some of those other novels. So he mm-hmm. wrote things like Bartleby the Scrivener here. He wrote Benito Cereno. He wrote one called Cock-a-Doodle-Doo, which is very specific to the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. And then he wrote one called I and My Chimney, which is literally about Arrowhead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he kept busy, that's for sure, at least with the writing.
Very busy. Yeah. Yeah.
Oliver Wendell Holmes, he was friends with him as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. At the time, was it Holmes Road?
I don't know if it was called Holmes Road at that time.
So that must have been kind of interesting conversation. Yeah, I live on your street.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think it was named later. Yeah, I think it was called, there was something about it being the Albany-Boston Road. And so it was a well-traveled road.
Sure.
But I don't know if it was called Holmes Road at the time.
Yeah. And so the building itself, Arrowhead, before Melville bought it or moved in there, what's the history on that?
So originally the house was built about 1784 by a man who was a Revolutionary War captain, Captain David Bush. Mm-hmm. And he built it on the occasion of his son's marriage. And his son lived there with his wife, and they ran it as a tavern. And so the reason the house is actually so big, which is a little bit deceptive when you look at it from the road, but mm-hmm. it is an actual very large house, which is part of the reason it appealed to Herman Melville also. But yeah, his son bought it or he gave it to his son as a gift, and then his son ran it. So David Bush Jr. And then David Bush Jr. sells it to a man named Dr. Brewster. And Dr. Brewster's the one that sells it to Herman Melville in 1850.
Mm-hmm. So it was a tavern, like a lot of those old larger buildings. Was it also like an inn or something as well?
Yeah. So sure. You could go in, you could get a warm meal, and then you could retire to the bedrooms. And they originally, we believe there were about 7 bedrooms in that house. Mm-hmm. And there are still vestiges of parts of it being a tavern. You can still walk in and say, oh, this makes sense. Like a very large kind of cooking hearth, mm-hmm. chimney, mm-hmm. Where you can see, oh, this is where you could see it operating as a tavern.
Right. So now, and you guys have done a lot of work on restoring that over the decades. Mm-hmm. It continues, right? I mean, you still got work to do, right? Just like any home, but a particular one that's got so many years behind it. I'm sure it's an ongoing process. So when it comes to the building, the Arrowhead, and for those just joining us, we are talking about Arrowhead, Herman Melville, and the Berkshire County Historical Society. I have the executive director, Leslie Herzberg, here with us. When it comes to preserving that and all the work that you guys do, how can people support you? Do you have volunteer opportunities? Are you looking for help? How can people support?
Well, we are always looking for volunteers. We love having volunteers. We have people who can give tours. They can work in the shop. They can work in our archives with our collections, gardening, any kind of help that you want to give us, we will take. But the best way to support us, I will also say, is you can certainly become a member. You can donate. That is also greatly appreciated. Come to our programs, become engaged with the place and the programs. And because, you know, right in your own backyard, so many people drive past and they always say to me, oh, I've driven past there so many times. You know, I've lived here my whole life and I've never been there. And I said, well, you're here now, so welcome. And that's really what happens is people are like, oh, yeah, that big yellow house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually you'll get there and we'd love for people to just kind of discover us. And anytime you want to come in, mm-hmm. the tour's only an hour. It's really not too long, but you'll learn so much if you come on one of our tours. And we love having local people come and discover it.
Yeah. And again, that's not something that's unique to Arrowhead. There's a lot of places here that if you live here, you just kind of take it for granted, I guess. Right. Which is the same wherever you go. You know, when I lived in Boston, I didn't do all the touristy things until someone came to visit. And then and that prompted me to take them and do those things. So so we fall into that same thing here, a lot of us. But what's interesting about Arrowhead is that you know, one reason to really pursue it or to take some time and go there is all that other history that's connected and that you can talk about through the Historical Society, because it's all of our history here in Berkshire County. So great opportunity to get in there and learn a little bit about that and experience that.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are the hours, admission, if somebody wants to go visit?
Yeah, so you can book a tour online or you can just walk in. We reserve mm-hmm. spots for walk-ins. So now that we're open for the season, we're open 5 days a week. We give tours every day except Tuesday and Wednesday. So you can come in, you know, Thursday through Monday. Our first tour starts at 10 a.m. and the last tour is at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tours every hour on the hour. And you can come multiple times because you every time you have a new tour guide, you'll learn something a little bit different. And yeah, so the cost is $22 for adults, $20 for seniors, $10 for students, and then children under 12 free. But there are lots of discounts available. So we have things like, we have a great Pittsfield pass. We call it the 1-2-3 pass. And when the Berkshire Museum opens again, we hope this summer, the Berkshire Museum is part of that. But Hancock Shaker Village, Arrowhead, and Berkshire Museum are part of the 1-2-3 pass. So if you purchase a full price ticket at one of those places, you get $2 off if you bring your receipt to the next museum, and then so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we have a deal with the Mount that's the same, discounted ticket. And things like Connector Care, WIC cards, EBT cards, you get a discount, you get in free. With those, there are library passes you can get at your local library that get you in. So lots of ways also for discounted admission as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's MobyDick.org is your website. Is that right?
You can get to us from MobyDick.org or BerkshireHistory.org.
BerkshireHistory.org or MobyDick.org. So
right.
Either one of those, and you can find all that information.
Right.
And so you mentioned obviously about going inside and getting the tour. But the grounds themselves are also worth a visit. Is that open to the public, the walking tours?
Oh, yeah, okay. All the time.
Or not tour per se, right? But it's just...
There's no tour of the grounds. Yeah. We do have some information about the grounds if people want to come. But the grounds are open sunrise to sunset. You can always come. We have some hiking trails. We have a trail through our field, and then there's a trail through the woods as well. And... we actually have a lot of birding programs going on. Mm-hmm. It's a really wonderful habitat. We have 45 acres in the middle of Pittsfield, which is greatly reduced from when Herman Melville lived there. He had 160 acres. Yeah. But I still figure 45 acres today in the middle of the city is decent.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, we have wonderful walking trails, and we've been doing some birding there. And in the winter, you know, come and... ski and snowshoe. I snowshoe on it all the time get outside.
Sure. You could definitely do a nice loop around that property.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the things that I've always noticed about outdoors there are the scarecrow art that you had.
Oh, yeah.
Is that something that you'll continue, or is that...
We don't have that anymore.
Okay.
That we had that for many, many years. He is a local sculptor who's wonderful. His name is Michael Melly.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives in Asheville. So you can actually, if you drive through Ashfield.
Okay.
I have Asheville on the brain. Uh-huh. Ashfield, his sculptures are on the grounds of his, but look him up. He has a website, Michael Melly.
Yeah, that's up on Route 9. Route 9 up that way?
Yeah, up that way.
Okay, because now that you mention it, I have seen... there's a farm that's along the road there that I don't know if that's his place or not, but I have seen some more of his sculptures.
Yeah, go up towards Buckland and like that way. Yeah.
So that was always interesting. I always thought those were pretty cool. So what else is going on the property? You mentioned the birding, right, as an option.
You
can walk the property. You can take tours. And we talked a little bit about some of the lecture series with authors. You have some other events happening on property coming up?
Yeah, we have lots of things going on. So the birding, I will say, the birding is a partnership with the Berkshire Bird Observatory.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started this last year. We've done some bird walks, but last year they started a program of bird banding. And so that is a nationwide study that they are participating in that allows us to track the breeding patterns of migratory birds. And so what we have learned is our particular property has this wonderful intersection of habitats. So we have the field, but then we also have this scrub and then the forest around it. And that just makes for apparently great locations for these birds to nest. And so what happens is this will start, I think, June 4th. We do it on Thursdays. And
so
then
it's a weekly thing.
Yeah, okay. They have to do it. It's prescribed. You have to do it every 10 days, I think. So usually from June 4th, and then it will be till the end of July. You can come and they set nets up in the... This is all done very humanely, I want to say. I don't want anyone to get scared. But they set nets up and they capture the birds very humanely, and then they are able to weigh them and tag them. And so what happens is, in the interim, you get to learn about the birds. So mm-hmm. if you come to our property, and they're there very early, they have to do a 6-hour window. So they're from 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. You do not need to come at 4 a.m. but we say, like, come between 8 and 10 a.m. and you'll be able to talk with Ben Nickley, who's the director of the Berkshire Bird Observatory. And you learn about these birds. And then he always gives someone who's there, you get to hold it in your hand and release it. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Now, another thing that I heard about for the property has to do with apples, right?
Yes.
So give me a little background on that and tell me where you're at with that, please.
Yeah. So Herman Melville made his own cider. He had an orchard on the property that had existed before he arrived. So planted by Dr. Brewster, probably. And he made his own cider. So we are going to be making our own cider again in the spirit of Herman Melville. And we've partnered with the Berkshire Cider Project. And so if you notice, you come to Arrowhead, and behind our parking lot, there are about 25 apple trees mm-hmm. that you'll see. And those were planted about 2 years ago now. But we also have some very old growth apple trees. So there's one that's right next to our barn that we've been collecting apples from. And so we've been making small batches. They've been making some small batches of those, which will be available at their tasting room in North Adams this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, when our trees get to produce fruit, which we hope is going to be this year or next year, we will have our own variety that will have some kind of fun, you know, Arrowhead Melville related name. But what we've been able to do is with the founders of the owners of Berkshire Cider Project is test the DNA of those older trees. And that is what is so exciting, because apples, you know, you can go down a pretty large rabbit hole of the varieties of apples and how apples are developed and cross-pollinate. But our tree is actually a little bit of a mystery. Hmm. And so we're waiting for the DNA to come back on that. And so it is possible that within the next few months, we might find that this is a rare variety, and we may get to name it.
Talk about comparing apples to apples. Right,
right, exactly.
Wow, a DNA. DNA apple. Or apple DNA, that's something.
Yeah.
So this may be a unique, not strain, what's the word I'm looking for? Whatever,
yeah,
not breed.
Remember.
I'm trying to think of what's the word for for fruit. Anyway,
it'd
be unique in its own way,
yes.
Right? To some degree. So that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, it's really interesting.
So you got that going on. So we're talking about apple cider there, but you also have another thing I saw on your website in June. I think it's the 17th. There's a wine tasting. Under the guise of Thomas Jefferson's style or preferences, is that correct?
Yes.
To kind of bring in the 250 sort of theme?
Yeah, so our Berkshire's 250 theme, we have a sommelier coming in, mm-hmm. Philippe Jean-Jean, and he's done wine tastings for us before, but this one will be focused on Thomas Jefferson and his love of French wines and his travel. So we're doing that, yes, on June 17th, so that should be fun in the barn, and you'll get so much information about the wine and the history, and it should be a nice evening.
Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we are going to take a break in a moment, but when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about a lot of the Rev 250 things that are going on here in Berkshire County, and we'll get a little bit more into the Berkshire County Historical Society. But again, that's just one of the things that's happening at Arrowhead that sort of connects to the whole 250 plan. Is there anything else, other 250 things going on at Arrowhead?
We have some concerts. We have a concert going on. We're going to be doing a run.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a 5K or something?
Yeah,
or?
5K, 10K yeah. in partnership with the Berkshire Running Center in October.
Yeah, sure.
Run mm-hmm. for the Revolution.
Run for the Revolution. Yeah. When is that?
October 18th.
Oh, great.
Pittsfield State Forest.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, we'll look forward for that information, too. I'm sure that's probably posted on Berkshire Running Foundation's website
yes.
as well, too. So also a friend of the radio station here. Good. All right, so we are going to just take a little break, and we will be back in a moment. We're going to go out here. I'm getting a little fancy now, so I was trying to find some music to go with this, and I actually found Moby Dick by Led Zeppelin. So, get it?
More Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is. If you're an impulse shopper, practice the two-day rule. Instead of making that impulse buy when you first see it, leave it on the shelf. In 2 days, if you still need it, then consider going back to buy it.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Hey water lovers, this is Leslie Gabriel, your water ambassador, host of And So It Flows. Our water music and water culture brings water outside the cup. Moisten your ears every Tuesday at 2 p.m. here at WTBR 89.7 FM. Love your water.
In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive.
Pittsfield.
Hi, this is Sean
Sayre,
Executive Director of PCTV.
See the light come over, no. I see myself in the pouring rain.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Morning Drive. And again, I'm trying to get a little fancy here. This is a little Moby. A little Southside. If anybody remembers Moby from about 25 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long. But anyway, we are talking today with Leslie Herzberg, the Executive Director of the Berkshire County Historical Society, and Herman Melville's Arrowhead. Before we get on with that conversation, we've got lots to talk about, especially with the 250th anniversary of the United States and all the historical things that are happening here in Berkshire County. We are just going to check in with the weather again, and then we will carry on with our conversation.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, partly cloudy. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Monday, partly sunny in the morning, then clearing. Hot with highs in the upper 80s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the afternoon. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Monday night, mostly clear. Warmer with lows in the mid-60s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, and again, welcome back to the Morning Drive, WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 FM in Lee. We're talking with Leslie Herzberg. She's the Executive Director at the Berkshire County Historical Society at Herman Melville Arrowhead. If you need any information about anything that's going on there, you can go to mobydick.org or what was the other one?
BerkshireHistory.org.
BerkshireHistory.org. So lots to look up on either of those websites. They will both give you all the information. So if you've missed something, you know, in the first half of this show, you can always go to those websites and look up what the upcoming events are. You can also go to PCTV and watch this this interview if you want. It'll be there forever. It'll be there when they're doing the 500th anniversary of America, maybe. So anyway, Leslie, welcome back. Thanks for sticking around for the second half.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about some of these things that are going on with the Historical Society. And maybe just to kind of articulate a little bit again for our listeners, the not so much difference, but maybe what makes the Historical Society a little bit separate from Herman Melville, even though that's where its home is. But what else do you do?
Right. So in our guise as the Berkshire County Historical Society, we obviously focus on some Berkshire County history aspects. We are working on adding in some walking tours in downtown Pittsfield. So mm-hmm. if you're interested in architecture, the architecture downtown Pittsfield, or we have one called Strangers and Friends, which is the history of immigrants in Pittsfield, the mm-hmm. immigrant community, which is an amazing and wonderfully rich history, and continues to be. So we have walking tours based on those in downtown Pittsfield. So really embracing the history of downtown Pittsfield and the Berkshires in general.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I noticed about the Historical Society is that you celebrate so much more than just Arrowhead and Herman Melville, because I mean you've got presentations about the men of the 54th Regiment. Mm-hmm. You've got things about World War II. You've got some driving tours. You've got some hiking tours, like you go down to Monument Mountain. I think you even had something about the history of lingerie or something coming up. I thought I saw.
Oh, that's a bit of an old. Yeah,
oh,
that was an old exhibit.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry to disappoint.
No, it's okay. But just to see, just to show like the breadth of the things that you guys do look into and present. So with those walking tours, how does somebody get involved with that if they wanted to do that, particularly, say, the one in Pittsfield that you're talking about?
Yeah, you can go onto our website mm-hmm. on the calendar and sign up. I believe they're both on Saturdays. One is in June and one is in July.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I misspoke. The one about the immigrant community is called Neighbors and Strangers.
Okay.
And that's given by our board chair, mm-hmm. Dr. Cynthia Farr Brown. And then the other one about Pittsfield architecture is given by John Dixon, mm-hmm. who is a docent, but also the head of the Pittsfield Historic Commission.
Mm-hmm. And what time of day are those?
11 a.m.
Oh, okay. So those are daytime.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Saturdays.
All right. And what kind of, so as part of the Historical Society, you have collections, I would imagine, of artifacts and different things that have come your way. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those collections and how you've kind of, how they've come to be in your possession?
Yeah. So what's really interesting about our collection is that we do have a Melville-related collection. We have mm-hmm. objects that are related to or owned by the Melville family, certainly. But that makes up a very small percentage of our collections. And when people come on the tour and they realize, well, there are five rooms in that house that are on the tour, but the house is obviously much, much bigger than that. And what the rest of the house is really for is storing our extensive collection. And one of the most important collections we have is actually a costume collection that is incredibly extensive. I believe it's the largest in Berkshire County, which we do have on display it's hard for us. We don't have a dedicated exhibit space that's appropriate for costumes.
Mm-hmm.
So we do loan them out a lot. So you'll see them at Ventfort Hall often. Sometimes we've had them at the Berkshire Museum. We've had them in Stockbridge. But they encompass, you know, everywhere from the time period of the 18th century all the way through the 21st century. And it is an amazing collection. which has been curated and collected for years. I heard stories about when the Berkshire Museum was actually part of the Berkshire Athenaeum, mm-hmm. which people might not know, before it was actually built as a museum in 1903, the collection was housed in the basement of what was then the Athenaeum, which was the court, now the courthouse, right? That
right.
beautiful Richardsonian Romanesque building. And it was kept in the basement. And so people would come in, you know, our wonderful Pittsfield 4th of July parade. People would come in and they'd be like, well, we're going to dress up because I'm going to ride my horse in the 4th of July parade. And they would go and just take costumes out of the collection and wear them in the 4th of July parade. And so there are still some labels on some of these clothing boxes that say, do not wear. And that is because people actually used to come in and wear them. Not anymore. We don't let people do that anymore, just to be clear.
Right, right. Everything's handled much more delicately now, right? So when it comes to the Historical Society, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you know, some of those placards that are around, is that something that you guys have any say in, or is that part of what you do, or?
So a few of those are put there by the Historic Commission.
Commission. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are in the sidewalks.
Yep.
Those are Historic Commission. The ones that we are mostly responsible for are the historic markers that you see. There's one on Park Square that identifies Lafayette.
Yep.
The General Lafayette, when he came through Pittsfield in 1825, we celebrated that last year. But then we actually just put a brand new one up last year, focusing on Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes, I've seen. Okay, so that is what I was referring to.
Okay.
All right, so that is you guys.
That one was
okay.
us. All that right. one. So what a lot of people, well, now that you're if you're driving mm-hmm. south on South Street, going right before you get up the hill going towards the Country Club, mm-hmm. right before the turn off to South Mountain Road, you will see. On your right-hand side, there is a historic marker that talks about Teddy Roosevelt. And in 1902, the president was visiting Pittsfield, and he was injured in an accident. So a trolley intersected. There's a whole story behind this. But basically, the trolley hit the president's carriage, mm-hmm. and the president was injured. His leg was injured, and that was an injury that was lifelong. Like, after that, he was lame because of this injury. But one of his horses died, and then his Secret Service agent, William Craig, was killed. Mm-hmm. And what is significant about this is that was the first Secret Service agent mm-hmm. killed in the line of duty. And mm-hmm. it happened here in Pittsfield, which
right.
is something to not really be proud of. But
right. Not to be proud of, but it is pretty interesting.
But it's significant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I was an adult before I ever even heard that. And I'm glad you put the marker where you did, because actually, when I heard the story, I had envisioned it being closer to the Colonial up in that part of South Street. So thanks for setting me straight to where it was. But yeah, that's just one of the so many interesting little historical stories about Berkshire County.
Yeah, there's so much to tell, and people don't, you know, you might learn these little tidbits here and there, but Berkshire County is such an amazing place, and when a lot of the stories that we're telling, especially now having to do with the 250th, is, you know, we focus so much on Boston at this time of year, and, mm-hmm. and rightly so, right? But Berkshire County had so much to do with the Revolution
mm-hmm.
and the initial stories about how people started to dissent
mm-hmm.
and to speak out against the crown.
Mm-hmm.
And so two of those things... which we celebrated in 2024. So this happened, you know, long before those, you know, the Battle of Lexington and Concord and the shot heard around the world. You know, the first resolves, the first people to come out and say, we do not agree with British rule, we don't want to pay these taxes, that actually happened in Berkshire County. So the Berkshire resolves, or the Sheffield resolves, happened very, very early in 1774. So the people of Berkshire County came together very early on mm-hmm. to to talk about this and to, you know, say that they didn't agree. And then the second thing that happens in Berkshire County that's very significant is that they close their courthouse in August of 1774. And that it is the first open legal resistance, public resistance to British rule. Mm-hmm. Because obviously the Tea Party had already happened, mm-hmm. but that was covert.
Yeah.
Nobody really knew who was doing that. This is coming out and saying, we're closing our courts. We're not letting these judges in, these loyalist judges in. And so they closed the court in Great Barrington.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really significant event.
Yeah, sort of protesting the rule by England, right?
Yeah.
Because here they were being judged by English law and lawmakers and so forth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So in a lot of things happened here that kind of set things in motion, or at least were some real significant steps.
Set the stage,
yep.
and helped win the war, truly. Mm-hmm. Like when we talk about, many people may be aware of the Knox Trail and the
sure.
Knox Train of artillery that came through the Berkshires. We just published a new book about the trail in the Berkshires and some new research that's been done about the trail and where it actually runs. There's been new research done about the actual path that they took. But, mm-hmm. you know, they took these, you know, 69 cannons from Fort Ticonderoga, mm-hmm. 300 miles
right.
across.
And they didn't have the turnpike.
They did not have the turnpike. This was essentially the turnpike of the day, and it was
yeah.
not well maintained. And it was the middle of winter.
Over the river and through the woods.
It really yeah. was.
But not to grandmother's house.
Not to grandmother's yeah. house, to Dorchester Heights in Boston.
Yeah.
So a really significant turning point in the Revolutionary War that, you know, took place. People helped in the Berkshires. It went through the Berkshires. And it helped get the British out of Boston.
Mm-hmm. And then, again, everything comes back tied together historically is that with Herman Melville, my understanding, too, is I think I'd seen somewhere that he had roots with the Revolutionary War and his father, right? I think his father was part of the Tea Party, maybe?
His grandfather.
Grandfather. Mm-hmm. Okay, so his grandfather on his dad's side, and I think on his mother's side, his grandfather was... a captain in the Revolutionary War, right?
Yep. He was
or
very proud of his
yeah.
Revolutionary War heritage.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, his grandfather was part of the Sons of Liberty and took mm-hmm. part in the Boston Tea Party.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. then his paternal grandfather and his maternal grandfather, Colonel Peter Gonsevoort, fought the British at Fort Stanwix mm-hmm. in just north of Rome, New York. And so Herman Melville actually names his second son Stanwix to commemorate that victory.
Mm-hmm. And so I also understand, too, that because, like you mentioned earlier about how Herman Melville's father died when he was very young, and he had a lot of siblings, and his mom was kind of left to raise the kids. And they had originally lived in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Moved up here like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. So Arrowhead's a second home in a second home to them or potentially. But that it's amazing that he is as prolific in his literary skills with so little opportunity for educational upbringing. Like he didn't have a lot of those resources. And yet look at the body of work that he produced and the skill level, you know. So there must have been a lot of, I don't know if self-taught. He must have found ways, right? But because of his circumstances, he didn't have traditional education.
Yeah, he only received... His parents were wealthy for a time, but unfortunately, yeah, his father got the family into a great amount of debt, which he then passed away, and it went to his mother, which is unfortunate. And she had to sell a lot of their belongings. And so, yeah, Herman was pulled out of school.
Mm-hmm.
So he only received the equivalent of an eighth grade education
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When he
Which was still
12.
Pretty good for the time.
It was still pretty good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because if you had an eighth grade education, you could actually teach.
Mm-hmm.
Think about one room schoolhouses. There were a lot of teachers in those one room schoolhouses that had an eighth grade education. And that was normal. And he actually did that as well. But yeah, I mean, think about these people who are just so hungry for knowledge. He was a voracious reader, and a lot of what he was doing was just picking things up from reading and from his life experiences, mm-hmm. right? Like from going on these whaling journeys. He was writing right. from what he knew and from life, but he just sucked in knowledge. He just was a voracious reader mm-hmm. for all of his life.
So if you're just joining us, we're talking with Leslie Herzberg. Leslie is the executive director of the Berkshire County Historical Society at Herman Melville's Arrowhead. It is open to the public. You've got tours every day now, 5 days a week.
Five days a week.
If you go to mobydick.org, you can find out more information about things at Arrowhead. When we talk about the name Arrowhead, that's also interesting too, right? Because again, digging deeper into history, it had to do with his discovery of arrowheads on the property from Native American ancestry, from activity many years before that. And that was sort of, correct me if I'm wrong, is that where the name came from?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was plowing in his fields because he was kind of a gentleman farmer as mm-hmm. well. And he found the Native American artifacts, and every great house needs a name. So he named his Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. And obviously that is stuck. But that is actually how we try to start all of our tours, is doing a land acknowledgement for the Mohican people who certainly inhabited this land mm-hmm. Long before any of us. And so the vestiges and those artifacts are still here and still around us.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking about 250, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are there other things that are happening with the Berkshire County Historical Society about 250? What do you have on the agenda?
Yeah, there's so many things, both for us and for other organizations over this summer. And so we are going to be doing, we have a concert of Revolutionary War music coming up in June. We have the wine tasting, mm-hmm. The Thomas Jefferson wine tasting, and we will be doing a talk about the Berkshires during the Revolution. And then we are going to be doing a road race, which we've never done before, which is really exciting, partnering with the Berkshire Running Foundation. And we'll be doing that October 18th. There'll be a few options for different distances, but it will be called Run for the Revolution. And you can sign up on the website for the Running Foundation. And we're excited to do that. So I said, well, maybe for the first 100 registrants, they're going to get like a tri-corner hat.
Oh, they look aerodynamic.
Yeah.
So maybe there'll be a little advantage there if you're wearing your hat, your little triangle hat.
Yeah, definitely possible. But there's a lot going on. And if you, so one of the things that I do kind of in my role as executive director of the Historical Society is try to bring together a lot of events and a lot of other of our wonderful cultural institutions to celebrate the 250th. So we have it's called Berkshire's 250, mm-hmm. and there are so many things going on surrounding Berkshire's 250, not just at Arrowhead, but at other institutions. So there's a variety of exhibits that are opening, Chesterwood, the Norman Rockwell Museum, Stockbridge Museum, and the Berkshire Museum will open a 250th anniversary exhibit as well. And then there's programming at the Adams Theater that starts in June on the 250th. Mm. Across the county, there are programs that everyone should go to. And, things at Tanglewood, obviously, are celebrating the 250th. But if people are interested in those particular activities, they can go to berkshires.org. And then under visit or plan a visit, it says Berkshire's 250. And there you can go there, and it lists all of the activities throughout the county. There's also a musical that will be put on in July called the Boston Tea Party Musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Rebel Town. That is related to the 250th, obviously. So many things going on across the county.
Mm-hmm. So, and that was berkshires.org?
Berkshires.org.
Okay. And then you mm-hmm. can go down to visit. And that'll give you more information about whether you say there's going to be a section there specifically
for Berkshire's 250.
Berkshire's 250. Yep. Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, look at all those opportunities and all those events going on. That's really something. There's no shortage of things to do this summer.
Not at all.
Yes.
Never is.
So don't say there's nothing to do. There's plenty to do. So with regards to the collections that you have, the historical collections above and beyond the Melville things, How do you come upon some of this? Is this stuff that people find and maybe bring to you or donate to you, or how is it you've kind of curated this collection?
Yeah, throughout the years, usually what happens is people come to us.
Mm-hmm.
They find something, they're cleaning out a home, and they find something in the attic, and they say, well, this isn't something that I want to give away, or...
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, it looks like it has, you know, some kind of historic significance, and they will come and donate it to the Historical Society. So usually that is how we acquire our collections. Very rarely are we purchasing objects. Almost everything has been donated to us by local families. And one of the things that we often point out in on our tours, because everyone wants to know, you know, was this owned by Herman Melville? And we certainly have things that are, but the rest of the objects, I always point out, are period pieces used by Berkshireites in the 19th century, that are wonderful pieces used here in Berkshire County.
Mm-hmm. And you know, going back to all the history that's here, and there's all these old homes and stuff like that, we do stumble upon things sometimes. I lived in a home in West Stockbridge for a while back, that was, from the mid 1800s. And supposedly it was part of the Underground Railroad, supposedly, because we went down in the basement and the chimney base had been replaced to some degree. So supposedly they had been hollowed out at one point. But just we found this old book. Sarah Josepha Hale had written a book. It was a historical reflection on women throughout history up to 1854. This was published in 1855. So it's a really interesting book. She went on to, she was known for Mary Had a Little Lamb. She wrote that.
Oh.
And then also convinced Abraham Lincoln that Thanksgiving would be a good holiday. So, but it was an interesting thing that we found, you know, in this old house. Who knows how long it had been there for. But so there's lots of things like that around here in Berkshire County, which I think is interesting. So I would imagine that people come to you with different things at times.
All the time. Yeah. And I've always lived in old houses. And mm-hmm. our house, we just moved into another old house. But yeah, we found an amazing a photograph under the floorboards in the attic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So we had to do a little research about who it was. But
what'd you find out?
So she was someone who had lived in the house, but the photo wasn't taken at the home. It led us to redate the building of the house
mm-hmm.
instead of we dated to 1908 instead of 1910. Mm-hmm. So I always love finding those things.
Yeah.
And so we have it and it's on display in the house.
So we've got about a minute left. What's your message out to the public? What would you like to get across?
If you haven't been to Arrowhead, now is your time to explore. Be a tourist in your own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of programs going on this summer, both related to Berkshire County history in the Revolution and also to Herman Melville. So we'd love to see you at Arrowhead.
Yeah. And the admission or the hours are?
Thursday through Monday. So mm-hmm. we just don't give tours Tuesday, Wednesday. Come and visit us for an hour-long tour. Tours are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the hour.
And that's mobydick.org. Or what's the other one?
BerkshireHistory.org.
BerkshireHistory.org. See, I didn't write the one down, so that's why I got to keep pointing to you. Sorry. BerkshireHistory.com. So again, if you're just joining us, we've been speaking with Leslie Herzberg. She's the executive director at the Berkshire County Historical Society at Herman Melville's Arrowhead. So again, so many things to look forward to this year as we went down, not just at Arrowhead, but throughout the county. Everybody's working in conjunction, providing what they can to really celebrate the 250th celebration of America. And as we talk today, there's so many connections here in Berkshire County. It's really amazing. And in fact, in a lot of ways, some of those seeds of that revolution came from here.
Definitely.
So make sure we really celebrate this year. So next week is Memorial Day. We will not be on the air for the show on Memorial Day morning. So make sure you enjoy that holiday. Please keep in mind our men and women who are serving overseas, particularly if they're over in the Middle East at this point. From all of us here at WTBR, thank you for joining us. And we hope that you'll join us each and every week and every day of the week. Thanks again. And we're going to go out with a little bit of Moby again, since we're trying to stay a little bit on theme. So let's see how I do here with this. All right. Well, thank you again, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the week.